Father, as we just take a moment before we go into your word, Lord God, we sense your presence in everything that's been said and done today. Lord God, knowing that you want to accomplish great things in each one of us. Lord Jesus, as we just take a moment to look at that video, in 4 minutes you shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Allow that to go deep into our hearts. Allow the word of God this morning to become alive, and allowing your word to cut where cutting is needing and healing where healing is needed. Lord God, that you would accomplish this in our lives because you love us, you care about us. And as we just take these moments, may your anointing be upon your word, and may our hearts be open and ready to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd turn with me to Matthew 28, that's where we're going to be this morning. And I sit there and I look at this video and I look at all the things that God wants to do. Sometimes we're our biggest hindrance. Can you say amen to that? We're the biggest hindrance of what God wants to do in our lives because we have our own agendas sometimes. We have our own thoughts. And when God says his ways are higher than our ways, we sometimes think that we know more than he knows. And without even doing it, sometimes we begin this journey on our own when we're not supposed to journey by ourselves. Say amen to that. We're not intended to journey by ourselves. We're intended to journey and walk with the Lord. We're intended to journey and walk with people of like-minded faith. And sometimes when the devil can push us aside and isolate us and allow us to think that we can do better when we journey on our own, we find that we struggle. And this morning, I want to tell you some good news. I want to tell you that sometimes if we would fill our hearts with God's love, if we would fill our hearts with fruitful and wonderful thoughts, there wouldn't be room for negative thoughts. Amen to that. There wouldn't be room for it. If we would fill our hearts with the things of God and we would seek God with all our hearts, some of the things that we have to go through wouldn't be allowed in our lives because there'd be no room for it. We wouldn't be looking around every corner wondering how we're going to make it. We wouldn't be searching for peace because we would live peace. We wouldn't be searching, wondering if we have a purpose because we know we would have a purpose in Christ. We wouldn't be searching to find a Savior because every day the Savior would be dwelling in our hearts. Sometimes I think we miss it, and we miss it badly. Some of you are sitting here thinking this morning that, Pastor, didn't anybody tell you that Easter is next week? Well, we do things different around here. We're celebrating the Resurrection Sunday today because next week we're going to do an Easter skit. And it'll be another visual good news of how good God is. Not that I don't think that Palm Sunday is important and Jesus walking in Jerusalem to take care of things, but I think the good news is not only what the Savior coming, but the Savior dying and being resurrected. And that is good news. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what your neighbor needs to hear. That's what your coworkers need to hear. That's what your long-lost aunt or uncle or whoever needs to hear this. I believe always that God has us here for a purpose. I believe with all my heart that every single one of you are here for a purpose this morning. I believe every single one of us that God has something for us this morning, that it can't be, that must have been for so-and-so. No, I believe God has a word for each and every one of us, and he can accomplish it if we'll let him. Jim Cimbala, I don't know if you know who he is, and if you're familiar with Jim Cimbala, Jim Cimbala is the pastor at Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. His whole ministry was founded that God said, if you would pray, I'll bring people. If you would be serious about prayer, I would open up and you would see these great things happening. And it has I forget how many years he's been there, but it's nearing 25, 30 years for sure. And Jim Cimbala shares this story that after one Easter Sunday service, and he was exhausted, and he just kind of let his feet hang over the end of the stage as people were leaving, and he was just praying and exhausted, probably thinking about, you know, that he was glad that it was over. And he says that he looked up. And about six rows back, he saw this man coming towards him, and he knew, because they have such a ministry to street people and the community in Brooklyn there. And he said he saw this man coming, and he knew that this man would be coming for money. And as the man was coming, they have these questions that they asked the people before they meet a need. And as he's coming, he's not really even looking up at the guy, and he says, "What is your name?" And he says, "David." He says, "David, how long have you been on the streets?" And he said, "6 months." He said, "Where did you sleep last night?" "In an abandoned car." "David, how old are you?" And he said, 31, but he looked like he was in his late 50s because the street had just wore him down. And Jim Cimbala is saying that, you know, most of the time they don't just give out money, but they give gift cards, or they take them to the gas station or whatever they're needing. But Cimbala says that he was so tired, and he just was reaching for his back pocket, and he wanted to just give this guy some money. And as he's pulling it out, David put his hand on Jim Cimbala, and he said, "I don't want your money. I want to know about this Jesus that you talked about, because I will die on the streets if I don't find him." And you can picture that. As a pastor, I can picture that, because I've pictured the exhaustion. I've pictured the sometimes the overwhelming needs just coming in at you, and I can just visualize everything that Cimbala was going through. And he said that as he saw that, and he realized that years later, that David would become a maintenance man in the church, and later on he began to have a call for ministry. But at that moment, all the things were flooding in of how tired he was, and he began to weep. Now you can picture David. The preacher's crying, he's wondering what's going on. And Cimbala said that just an overwhelming compassion, overwhelming love for this man and for God. He said, "God, forgive me." Crying out while this guy is waiting for him to explain this Jesus in more detail. He's crying out, and he's saying, "God, forgive me. Forgive me for all of this, because in the moment you give me the message and you give me the bullet points, you give me everything that I'm supposed to say, but when the guy shows up, I have the wrong attitude." And it broke him. And sometimes I think we hear the Easter story. We hear about the good things God is doing in other areas and other people's lives. And I think we just sometimes get so heavy with what's going on just in our lives that we miss what God wants to do. And so I'm saying to you, even before we get started here, if you're thinking that Easter is all about you, or it's all about eggs, or it's all about food, or even if it's all about family, it's not. Easter is all about Jesus. Family's good, eggs are good, chocolate's good, all these things are good, but Easter is about Jesus. And when you gather together, there it should be Easter lived out. See, there's a difference between celebrating Easter and living Easter. There's a big difference. We can gather. We can all come this morning and celebrate Easter, celebrate what Christ does. But it's another thing when we walk out of here and we live it. When we live it, people will see the difference in us. If we live it, they will see that their Savior can do more than the average person can. When they live it, you begin to make an impact. Bruce Larson says this, and I love this. He says, "The events of Easter cannot be reduced to a creed or a philosophy. We are not asked to believe the doctrine of the resurrection. We are asked to meet the person of the resurrection. In faith, we move from belief in a doctrine to the knowledge of a person. Say amen. See, a lot of people have religion. That's not a problem. But they don't have the relationship. And when the things get tough and when the things get ugly, if you don't have the relationship, that's when you begin to struggle. Another illustration, in 1957, a lieutenant had been shot out of the air and he ended up landing in the Sierras. And for 54 days, he struggled in the snow and everything of these mountaintops and how he lived in this wilderness. He come walking out after 54 days, and you can imagine, in that 54 days, they had pronounced him dead already, missing in action because they couldn't find his plane. And when they couldn't find his plane and he showed up, they thought it was a hoax. He actually was forced out of the military to resign under a cloud of doubt. And 20 years later, the story is confirmed when a bunch of Boy Scouts found his plane up in the mountains. And it really, the Easter story is another survival story about Jesus walking out of that tomb. In the same that everybody thought it was a hoax and they thought it wasn't really the truth, there were some today that have these skeptics and these ideas that it never happened. But I look at the Bible, I look at God's truth, and then bigger yet, I look at the Holy Spirit that ministers. See, there's all of these things have a factor, because when you look at this, the prophets foretold his coming. Isaiah, if you read the book of Isaiah, Isaiah told that there was going to be a Redeemer coming, and he came. And everybody watched Jesus as he walked this earth, and nobody can say that he wasn't special, that he couldn't do miracles and didn't do things that the average person couldn't do. And then there's eyewitnesses, over 500 people documented that they saw Jesus during that period of time, and the Spirit of God confirms that to us if we'll let him. Now stop and grab onto this. Common sense is going to tell you he did what he said he was going to do. He provided the miracles and healed the blind and set crippled people to walking. He made all the religious people mad. But the most important part of that, to me, is that the Word of God tells us that the Spirit of God will bear witness with our spirit. That all the doubts and all the clouding and all the hesitation and everything else, if you're really seeking God, He tells us that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit and lead us and walk us towards Jesus. See, you can believe it, you can say it's a good thing, but do you live it? The test of faith is living it out. Say amen. The test of faith is living it out. A lot of people claim to be religious. A lot of people say they love the Lord, and then when it gets ugly, you see that their actions don't line up with what they're saying. See, you can't love the Lord and not spend any time with Him. You can't be faithful to His kingdom without exercising your faith in different areas. Each one of these things has a factor that makes us and causes us to have decisions that we have to make every day. You have to make a decision every day if you're going to serve God. Amen? Every day you have to, because the life does not do good things to you. People don't always look at you the same way as you would treat them. They don't always treat you the same way. These are factors, and as we journey, and then we have to understand, when they journey to the empty tomb, we journey every day too. Some of us are farther along than others, but we're all journeying. We haven't all been through the same thing, so we're not all going to be at the same spot. That's why, judge not unless you want to be judged. There's a reason that God said that to us. Because we're at different spots. We're all journeying. The resurrection is a fact. And it demands a response. And no response is a response. Do you hear me this morning? No response, or I'll get to it later, that is a response. So when we pick up the text here in Matthew 28, we see that Jesus has already went down the Via della Rosa. He's already suffered. He's already been mocked. He's already been ridiculed. He's already been crucified for telling a truth. He proclaimed that he was the Son of the living God, and they crucified him for that. That was Jesus' journey. That can become our journey. And we see that Judas had betrayed him. We see that Pontius Pilate betrayed him. We see that all of these things, Pontius Pilate actually took the word of a lot of loudmouths and spared the life of a murderer rather than say, this man has done nothing. You've got to let him go. They put an innocent man to death, buried in a borrowed tomb, standing in front of the entrance with guards to make sure what he said would happen wouldn't happen. And when you really look at this, I love this. Most people think that the guards put the rock in front of the tomb. I thought it for years. Then one day I read the scriptures and catch this. Matthew 27:59, Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he cut out of a rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. That is why the guards had so much trouble and wanted to make sure that was sealed and make sure that they put those guards in front of it, because they didn't roll that stone in there. They wanted to make sure once he was in there that he didn't get out and didn't accomplish what he said would happen. And then you pick up the scripture and you look at this and you just stand in amazement. I love this. I could read this every day. Matthew 28, starting at verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to him, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" You know what? If that scripture doesn't cause you to jump with excitement, then Jesus needs to put the paddles on you. He needs to put the paddles on you, because that to me, I don't care if I read that every day, that brings excitement. I love this, that the women went to the grave not knowing that they were going to put all these guards. They were expecting to be able to just walk in and prepare the body of Jesus. When they got there, they were greeted by this angelic being who had the tomb already opened. And he says, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said." I want you to notice something else. See, this is me. I love this kind of stuff. Notice he didn't comfort the guards. The guards were petrified. And yet the women were told to not be afraid. Because the guards, they had something to fear. That is the gospel in the nutshell. The different reactions to the resurrection. The women went to spread the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The guards went to spread lies about how it didn't happen. And that's how you have two spots or two ways that you can look at this. The greatest miracle of God is the resurrection. And the greatest blessing that God has ever done for us is provided a way for our resurrection and our redemption. See, the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. See, it wouldn't be good news if it just be a death and a burial. There has to be the resurrection there. We celebrate the birth of Christ at Christmas and we celebrate his resurrection at Easter. But you know what? That's a complete story. That's a complete story. If you had one without the other, it wouldn't be good news. And I want you to know that no one can stop the plan of God. No one. Satan tried. The Pharisees tried. Religious people tried. Pilate tried. They all tried. Elected officials tried. None of them would stop the plan of God. You know who the only one can stop the plan of God for you is? You. You're the only one that can stop the plan that God has. Pilate said to the crowd, "What shall I do with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" They said, "Crucify him. I'd rather have a murderer than your Jesus." And Jesus asked every one of us on a daily basis, "What are we going to do with Jesus?" See, you can't watch. Pilate washed his hands, said, "I want nothing to do with this innocent guy." We can't wash our hands. We have to make a decision. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, "Jesus, I'll get to it when I get to it." We got to make a decision. One of the last words of Jesus on this earth is, "It is finished." And it was only finished because he'd done everything that God the Father had requested of him. And at that point, the only thing that was left was the resurrection. And after the resurrection, he says that this is all I can do for you. I cannot force you. I will not force you. He does everything within his power for us to have a relationship with him, except force you to be a robot. Force you into something that you don't want to. See, I get a big kick out of this. People always say, "When I get to hell, I'm going to be riding with my friends and doing this and doing that." No, you're going to be separated from all. You're going to be separated from God. You're going to get what you desired. Because God loves us that much, he won't force us. If we don't want to spend this time with him, he will not force us to spend eternity with him. He could have made robots, but he didn't want robots. So I ask you this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus? Was the stone rolled away so that Jesus could get out? No. It was so the world would know that he's already been gone. 1 Corinthians 15:7, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin." You know what? If that resurrection didn't happen, I've been preaching the gospel for a long time for nothing. But my spirit bears spirit with his spirit that this is a truth worth dying for. Can you imagine the excitement that they must have experienced thinking that they were just going to put perfume on Jesus' body to find out that he really did what he said he was going to do? And how he was resurrected like he said he was going to resurrect. How all the promises suddenly became true. Can you imagine the tears of joy? I sat in a worship today and worship was super. Led us to worship. My heart's jumping and this guy almost started a run, but I didn't want to scare anybody. God is so good. You know, I think the movie's out. I can only imagine, but can you picture these words? You know, I love the song by Mercy Me. It says, "I can only imagine what it would be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all?" We think we know what we're going to do, but you know what? This preacher probably won't have no words. The one time that I'll be quiet. Paybacks are hard. What a wonderful day that will be. See, all the things that we experienced this morning, it is not a religion. This guy doesn't promote a religion. In fact, Jesus didn't care for the religious. It's all about relationship. It's not a doctrine. It's about a relationship. That empty tomb means we have a new chance for new life. And I love this. Listen to the words of Peter. You know, that guy that made a few mistakes. That guy that I think at times could say Tony instead of Peter. The one that does everything the hard way. Here's his prayer. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into the inheritance that never can be perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation of the Lord. Can you say amen to that this morning? Can any of us relate besides me that sometimes we're the Peter? That just says the things, whoop, oops, and you wish you could pull it back, but you can't, or you know, those times that you think you got it all, oh, I'll serve you, Jesus, forever, I'll never deny you. And then in the background, you hear the rooster crowing three times, and you go, wow, not again, not again. Would you just bow your head with me this morning? Here's what I want. I don't want anything mechanical. I want God to speak to us this morning. I don't know where you're at. I know we're all on a journey. But maybe your journey this morning has now taken you right to the spot of making a decision. Maybe right now, God's Spirit is speaking directly to your spirit and telling you that you need to turn these things over. My question to you this morning is, will you be open enough to do it? And if you do this morning, I want to pray with you. Don't leave here. If God is speaking to you this morning, respond. Allow me to pray with you this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've served God a long time, but I'm not where I need to be. But God, I want you to do something amazing in my life. I want you to refocus my priorities. Right where you're at, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but would you just raise your hand if that's you this morning, and I can pray with you? Yep, I see your hand. Yep, I see your hands. Yep. Anybody else? Before we just take a moment of prayer. Yep, I see your hand. Father, we're grateful for your goodness. God, for those that raised their hands this morning, if it's the first time that they have made commitment to you, Lord Jesus, I'm asking right now that you would flood their heart with your love. As they confess their sins, as they require and ask you, Lord God, to be their Lord and Savior of their life. I ask you, Lord God, to do something amazing. I pray a prayer that the devil not steal this moment, that it's their moment between their God and them. I pray for some that have raised their hands and they've made a commitment before, but life has just gotten them off track. That again, your love is drawing them close. I'm asking that they would just recommit to you, Lord Jesus. That this is a special day. Our Bible says that if it's your first time, a new name is written in glory. That your name is there. And we rejoice with that. The only way we can lose it is if we walk away from you. For those that are recommitting this morning, rejoice that we serve a God that loves us and forgives. And start walking with him. And we're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise this morning. For those that have made that commitment, I would encourage them to tell someone today. Make it real. And then begin living for the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.